Hey guys, I'm Anne. Yesterday I was almost run over by a rogue R2 unit, and I am an anomaly. I'm also a staff writer for the Anomaly blog at anomalypodcast.blogspot.com. This weekend I attended New York Comic Con for the first time, and I met some amazing artists, some fans, tons of anomalies. I took time to interview them along the way, and I wanted to share my experience with all of you. First up, you'll hear an interview with the writer and director of the web series Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice, Rob Longo, and his star, Heidi Allen. Next, there's an interview with my friend Stephanie about her con experience and why she's an anomaly. Then I stopped by to chat with one of the creators and artist behind Eorus, which is a new and just astoundingly beautiful tabletop RPG. His name is Nicholas Acosta. Then I have an interview with artist and anomaly Annie Stoll. Then I chat with George Jeanty. I should have asked him how to pronounce his last name, so I'm a bad person. But he is of Buffy comic fame, and he also did one of the covers for the first episode of the Guild comic books. So I was totally excited to run into him and to talk with him, so you'll hear that. I also stopped to speak with Alyssa Ciccarelli, one of the creative minds behind Reese, the series, which is, it came out last year. It was sponsored by Coldcast, I believe, at least partially, and it had a really strong steampunk vibe. It was very cool looking, and they ended up getting picked up by sci-fi.com. So Alyssa stopped to talk with me a little bit about teaming up with them and tell you guys a little bit more about the show. Then I have a little interview with Tim Ferrara, who is an artist behind the webcomic Honey in the Whirlwind. I also interviewed an awesome cosplayer, Marley Zabriskie, about making her Astrid of Berk costume from How to Tame Your Dragon. I also ran into web comic artist Jean Michel, who told me about his new series called American Dark Age. Then I talked to Thomas Gofton, who is the creator of the new web series Mind's Eye, which I saw a trailer for and a little bit of at the con. It was really loud, so I couldn't catch it, but visually it really struck me, and he just is a really passionate guy when he's talking about his project, so I hope you'll enjoy that. Then I talked to Marion Call, who is an amazing geek musician, and bless her heart, she took time out of her busy touring schedule to fight her way through crazy con crowds and halls with no phone reception to update me on her current tour, what it's like to work with Quantum Mechanics as a label, and how she became a geek, and also what inspires her music. Last but not least, I was lucky enough to interview Ashley Eckstein, who is not only the voice of Ahsoka Tano on the popular animated series Star Wars: The Clone Wars, but who is the driving force behind Her Universe, which is a company dedicated to designing and selling geek apparel, especially for women. So hold on to your hats. It's going to be a wild ride. I'm here with the writer and director of
Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice.
Oh my goodness. So this is a web series, yes?
Yes, it is.
And I'm sorry, what's your name, sir?
Rob Longo.
And what's your name?
Heidi Allen.
And you are the
writer, director, creator, and overall swell guy of the series.
Awesome. And what are you?
And I play Beatrice Sweet, aka Sweet Bird.
Okay, great. And how did you get started making the series?
I saw that there was like a lack of fun, whimsical superhero stuff out in the market. Everything went very like gritty and violent, and I just wanted to return it to the four color fun, you know,
awesome,
that I remember, like Batman in the TV series. But I wanted to have a series that appealed to a very wide audience, and you know, there's certainly a level of sex appeal in Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice.
We can't help that. We're women.
But when you know, hopefully your audience watches the show, they'll see that they're women in power and in positions of power, and never does anyone other than another female get the better of them.
And so how did you get involved in the show?
I auditioned and got thrown into this crazy world of comics and sci-fi and all of that, and I absolutely love it. The series is like funny and campy and cheap, and it's just, it's all those good things thrown into one, and so much girl power.
So have you been, like, a girl geek all of your life?
Kind of. I grew up in, like, the Star Trek world with my brother.
How long have you been doing this project?
About 2 years now.
And you have how many seasons? The first season is done.
Yes.
And are you planning a next season?
Yep, starting in January.
Great. And do you guys film in New York?
New York and New Jersey.
Do you know about when you think that'll be released?
Probably the end of January, beginning of February.
Cool.
For an episode. We'll do one episode a month.
Awesome. So if you could pick 5 words to describe this web series, go. Each of you go.
Robots, ninjas, villains, heroes, women.
Girl power, bam, bang. Can't be fun.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very
awesome.
Much.
Thanks for letting
Enjoy
me
the show.
All right, so I'm here with Stephanie Sanford.
Hi, Anne.
Yay, Stephanie's an anomaly. What brings you to Comic-Con today?
The walls.
The walls. You do it for the walls.
All the stuff, you know, it's the sci-fi, the comics, the gaming.
So how long have you been a geek, would you say? When did that start for you?
Well, I remember pretty much my entire life. I think my first horror movie was Aliens and Terminator. Nice. Terminator 2 and Aliens were pretty much the first favorite
movie. And then it was over.
Yeah, then it was kind of over.
Okay, so what's your favorite thing that you've seen so far today?
Oh, God. There's been a lot of awesome stuff. They had the Warhammer orcs, and you get your picture taken with them, like the actual person in a suit, like 2-scale, huge, like 10-foot orc. That was pretty badass.
Awesome.
Let's see, what else did they have that was cool? They had the Dead Space 2 demos, and that was awesome. Got to play that. Hella fun. Cool. There's Marvel's Capcom 3 that you can try out, but we're not standing in line for that right now.
What do you think of women who like sci-fi fantasy and like how they're viewed?
I'm kind of trying to fit into the niche where there really shouldn't be any kind of distinguishment between the girls and the guys. I kind of always thought of myself as one of the guys.
Yeah, I hear that.
I said distinguishment. Awesome. That's not a word.
It's a word now.
I like the idea of being able to play games with everybody else and not really there being any issues. You know,
word.
Like
totally
the rainbow world where everyone is different colors, but we all work together.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So what are you looking forward to the most that you haven't done yet?
Oh, God. I really want to see the trailer for The Thing because there's a remake of it. The old John Carpenter movie came out in the 80s, and it's a really amazing, scary movie with awesome puppetry, and they're remaking it, and hopefully it won't suck. There's also lots of Wizards tournaments. There's going to be, like, Magic the Gathering tournament, EDH,
awesome.
Things like that.
I saw the inflatable 20-sided die.
Yes, I am getting an inflatable 20-sided die because I tried to get one last year, and they were sold out at the one place that sold them.
Yeah.
So I am getting one of those.
I'm here with
Nicolas Acosta.
And you are from the game, the tabletop game, yours, RPG.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. So can you tell me a little bit about this game?
Well, it's the first game by a company called Visions of Essence, which is our company. It's also the very first game to be released worldwide, coming out of South America. And as you're going to find, like, there's 2 books, they come in a slipcase. They're the highest production value and quality you're going to find within the pen and paper RPG industry. They're going to have more images, they're going to be more finely detailed. And a lot of work is also going into the system where you can create your own species, you can create your own vehicles. It really is a more creativity-oriented game than others.
Cool. So what are the kind of races and characters that you can play in this game world?
All right. You have 12 main species that we provide, and ranging from the Sylphan, or tiny little rodent-like creatures like about a meter tall, to the Enlil, who are 4 meters tall, or like 5 meters tall sometimes. I don't know if you guys use the metric system, but you can just look it up, and they're pretty big.
Yeah.
And, we have all the in-betweens, including the Orisian, who are close to human, to canine-like species, well, wolves, which have a very important, play a very important role within this game. You can play as several types of angels or spirits. And other than all that, you can create your own species. And you can just go like, hey, I watched Avatar, I like the Na'vi, I'm going to create those and play it on this system. Or I watched Harry Potter and I want to use the magic system in the game. And it'll all work out. It, like, the game is, like, the system's called the Essence System. It took 8 years to design. And it's a very essential form of system in which you can just use the main structure and fill in the gaps yourselves. It's really, really easy to use. And it allows you to adapt the system to any setting you could possibly think of right now.
Awesome. So the artwork is incredible. Do you have a team of artists who work on it, or is there one specific guy who did the concept? Or?
There was like two artists, and we put them in a basement for about 4 years.
Locked them away.
We locked them away, and we never fed them or, and we haven't paid them, and that's me and Daniel.
Awesome. That's, I mean, the artwork is incredible.
It was all done by the same people, by Daniel and I. It's very rare to find artwork that depicts a world in exactly the same way that the writers wanted it to be depicted.
Right. That's exactly
But because
what
we are the writers and the artists, that's what you're going to find. And you're going to find unity of artwork throughout the game. It's not like, all right, this piece you can tell has been done by this artist, and this piece you're going to tell has been done by that other artist. It's just the two of us, and we did our best to have a very, like, a decent flow throughout the entire artwork. One of the things that makes this game really different and really stand out is it focuses a lot on character emotions and on character psychological development. And your character's emotional state, its physical appearance, like the way it's perceived by others, and it's the way it socially interacts with others, its psychological profile, will affect the character, your character's results mechanically throughout the entire game.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty unique. It's pretty unique right now. So it gives your character its own life.
And there's a lot of development over the course of the story that affects the gameplay.
It's not a game about good versus evil. It's a game about shades of gray.
That's
it's
awesome.
A game about differences of opinion. And it's not a game about... It's obviously about the fighting and the slashing and hacking away and who doesn't like diminishing the goblin population of the universe.
Yeah. But...
Completely agree. But it's also about thinking about why this is all being done. It's about the before and after of the fights.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what characters could come to feel about all these emotional issues that appear in this game.
Right.
Well, one of the main questions in this game is, what is more important, God or her creation?
How did this come to you when you were creating it? What was the inspiration?
Ooh, just Daniel and I have a very strong lifelong passion for art and fantasy, and we've both been creating... I don't know, characters and stories for as long as I can remember. So it was just natural progression, I guess. One day it was just like, all right, we're just going to make a game. We're going to do our very best to make the most beautiful game we possibly can. And,
yeah.
And we just started doing it one day, and we haven't stopped since. It's been 8 years.
And this is a great result. Yeah, no, that's amazing. I'm so impressed with this. People want to pick this up and want to start playing. Where can they go to order it?
They can go to www.eorisessence.com. Or just look up Eoris on Google. That's Eoris. Just Google that. You're going to find us right away. You're also going to find a lot of really good reviews about the game. Like people who have played it, people who have seen it, people who say it's the most beautiful role-playing game they've ever seen in their lives. And hopefully when you guys do go out and buy it and get it, you're going to agree with them.
I'm sitting here with Annie Stoll. Say hi.
Hi.
Annie is an anomaly. So, Annie, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I'm actually a graphic designer and an illustrator, and my big passion / hobby is anime, comic, kind of geeky stuff like that.
Cool. So, well, there's a lot of that at Comic-Con.
Definitely.
Awesome.
I love drawing, like, fan art and, like, my own sort of creations and sort of more of, like, a manga-influenced sort of style. And then on the other side, I have this sort of, like, illustrative, like, sketchy style that's more realistic that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I really love to do cute little things, like little chibis and things like that, and I also really enjoy drawing kind of really beautiful, kind of whimsical, pretty, like, you know, bishis and bishojos.
How do you use the web as a platform?
I would say I probably have maybe 3 or 4 prongs to it. I have my own website for anniestoll.com, which is more like my professional website, so it's my design and my illustration and my resume, everything like that, and that has enabled me as far as design jobs go to not only put my freelance out there, but also help me to get actual jobs because, you know, people nowadays, they want to see your website. They don't want you to drop off a portfolio or anything. It's show us your website, show us your stuff really quick. And then secondly, Cinch Cat Studios is my studio with my friends. We made it in college, and it was just sort of our fun. We go to anime conventions, and we hang out together, you know, seven people on one table, and draw stuff together. And as far as like promoting myself with that goes, and my friend's works obviously as well, it's sort of a blog style, so yeah. People can log in, they can say, hey, this is what I'm working on, and it's been a really good tool for us as far as like anime cons and comic cons go, because, you know, we'll have like a business card, mm-hmm. People can go back to that, they can find all of our artists. And then probably the last thing online that actually got me started was DeviantArt. Especially in fandom, especially with, like, you know, anime and manga-style influences, that was huge. And I've been on there for, like, 7 years.
Well, I also find, like, as soon as I look up, like, I got really into Avatar when mm-hmm. we all started watching that in our group of friends, and I felt like, you know, every time I looked up Avatar fan art, even though they told me not to, because they're like, you'll spoil everything, don't look it up. But I secretly did, in part because I couldn't get enough. But everything linked back to DeviantArt, so mm-hmm. I can imagine it's kind of a way to, if you tag it right, like, it's good search engine optimization.
Definitely. I have people that, like, come to see me at conventions from there. It's weird. Like, I have, actual, like, fans. Of,
like, I have groupies.
I really do.
That's so cool.
I had a girl on stage of protest, and I'd gone to the bathroom. She's like, I'm not leaving until Tsubasa Kobe comes back.
That's so funny. That's awesome. How long have you been a girl geek, would you say?
Oh, jeez. As far as me realizing that I was, I think that I probably had that more of a realization in maybe, like, late grammar school, like, 6th through, like, 8th grade, because I, like, freaked out over Sailor Moon.
And, oh, my God, who didn't?
You know, that's, like, really, really what got me into it. I mean, I think all along, when you think back, I always was. I just didn't realize it. Like, I come from, like, the Star Wars family. And, it's Star Wars has just been, like, we were born and, like, there was, like, you know, quotes everywhere and stuff everywhere. You know, it was, like, sort of absorbed. I didn't even realize it because I thought that this was normal.
And then you're like, oh, wait, the rest of the world might not. Which is sad. They should all love Star Wars. I'm Anne, and I'm here with...
Georges.
Awesome. And I was just walking through Artist Alley at Comic-Con, and I realized I was in front of the artist who drew one of the covers for The Guild, the first episode. So how did that job illustrating that cover come to you?
Felicia Day, obviously, she was on Buffy in season 7 playing the character Vi. Right. And we were both at a show, and we... just became friendly, started talking.
She's so nice, everyone says
she is a sweetheart. This was before the comic ever came about. And she was actually sitting thinking about what she was going to do for her season 2 of The Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking. I said, you know what? You know, I don't know if you like comics or not, but that's something you could really get into. And having seen some of the webisodes, I think it would really fit into comic books. And she was like, yeah, you know, I should get into that. And so it's really no surprise that The Guild is being published by Dark Horse, that also publishes Buffy.
Yeah.
And since then, we've gotten really friendly. And I told her, well, look, if you ever do the book, I'll definitely do a cover for you. And she was like, oh, okay, I'm going to call you on that.
When did you start watching The Guild?
Right after I met Felicia, actually. Yeah. This was a show in London.
Uh-huh.
And I knew her, of course, from Buffy, but I wasn't as familiar with The Guild. And after we talked, I just sort of went back home and, you know, looked up some of the episodes, found the DVD, bought that, and just watched it straight through, and thought, wow, this is really cool.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad to have met you. I'm definitely going to pick up this print here.
Sure thing.
Put it on my wall, proud.
Definitely read the comic, because she writes it herself.
It's so awesome.
Really good.
I'm really excited for the character one-shots.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
My name's Elisa. I'm with Reese's Series.
Awesome. So what do you do for Reese?
I'm one of the co-writers. I wrote the back 5 episodes.
Awesome. So you came on right from the start when you guys were first on the web, yeah?
The show was created by Ryan Koppel and Kalina Kiff, and they came out with the first chapter, and then I came on board for the second chapter.
Awesome. So tell our listeners a little bit about what Reese is about.
Reese is about a princess named Reese who she was chased out of her kingdom when her family was killed by the sect, and now she's returning to Alicia to reclaim the kingdom and to fight back.
Awesome. Now, one of the cool things about the show is it has this awesome steampunk vibe to it.
the con, I've seen so much more steampunk just exploding everywhere than ever before. What do you think it's about right now?
When we first started, like, the steampunk was out there, but we've definitely seen a rise in it in the past year. And we're not a steampunk show, but we're definitely inspired by it a lot, and we'd love to be able to incorporate it more. So hopefully if the web series does well and we can go to TV, we'll see more of that. But we just love everything about it.
Awesome. So, and you guys were on the web at first, and then you pulled in February because you got a deal with Sci-Fi. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, exactly. It's been very exciting. We're launching very soon on sci-fi.com. There should be news very soon about a release date. And they've been wonderful. And, like, we've kind of revamped the show a little bit, and it's going to be a new experience for those who've seen it. And for those who haven't, they'll be able to jump right into the world.
Sitting here with Tim Ferrara, who writes the Honey in the Whirlwind bi-weekly webcomic. So hi, Tim.
Hi.
Yay. So Tim, tell us what the premise is for Honey in the Whirlwind.
All right, so basically it's a comic about dreams and magic and alchemy and all kinds of interesting intellect philosophy ideas.
I've read it. It's really cool. Everyone should check it out. So who are the main characters in the...
My main characters are Oliver, who is a struggling writer who has a history with magic, and his younger friend Abigail, who is a classic rebellious teen, who is just... spunky and
she's totally
adventure.
Cute and awesome. What I like about Abigail is that she's like her own woman, and like she's like a rebellious teen, but she's a strong character. She's not just kind of like a foil to be crazy around Oliver so that things can happen to him.
Yeah, I'm really big on balance. Balance is one of the main things that I like to explore. I don't like extremes or titles that indicate that one person is one thing and not another thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of my big points is that everything is connected. I have the character Divi, who is, at this point in the comic, without getting into where the story is going.
That's spoiling it, because we want people to read it and be surprised.
She kind of acts as a guide to Oliver. Mm-hmm. She comes to him in his dreams, and she talks to him, and she's almost kind of an anima to his animus. Like,
yeah.
She's kind of like the female representation of his thoughts and dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And it situates to make him a more balanced individual.
So when did you get started drawing and stuff?
I've been drawing my whole life, basically.
So, like, you were in the womb and your mom just, like, inserted a pen into... No.
It's a little
that
gross.
That is kind of gross, actually. We were just watching Alien, so I kind of feel like it's appropriate, but it's actually not.
No.
Continue.
Ever since I can remember, and even probably before that, I was drawing. I always loved to draw.
So tell us, finally, where we can find Honey in the Whirlwind on the web.
You can find Honey in the Whirlwind at www.honeyintheworldwind.com.
I'm Anne, and I'm here with...
Marley Zabriskie.
Who is cosplaying as...
Astrid of Burke.
Who is awesome in How to Tame Your Dragon. Now, did you make this costume yourself?
I did.
And so how many hours did that take?
Way too many.
Way too many.
The shirt alone took like 6 hours because it's mostly hand stitched.
Yeah. So, and did you do all the leather work yourself as
I
well?
Did.
Oh my gosh. So this, how is it all held together?
I've used
like love and prayers and fairiness.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I've used tile adhesive.
Uh-huh.
Kind of worked the best because crazy glue was useless, super glue was useless, most other things were useless.
It's really impressive. I've never seen like homemade leather work that looks like, I don't know, it's very cartoony but still very cool. It's so cool. So is that like your favorite movie in the past year?
It is, actually. It really is. I love that movie. I'm in 2D animation in Philadelphia, but I don't usually like 3D movies, but I love that movie.
I was totally surprised by it.
Because
I went with my friends and I were like, dragons, cool, that's good.
I love dragons.
But then we ended up really liking it. With
Jean-Michel,
the creator and artist behind American Dark Age.
It's a story that I kind of got inspired from, I don't know, just like the collapse of our country.
awesome.
And at some point, I realized, you know, it actually might be kind of cool if everything just shut down at some point. So it's a story about...
So you think we need an apocalypse like today?
I think it might kind of help. It might help things out a little bit.
So this is going to be a webcomic.
Yeah, it's going to start out as a webcomic, and hopefully at some point we'll make enough money to go to print.
Cool. And can people see it now? Is it up yet at all?
No, right now, hopefully within the week, our website will kind of have some stuff to look at. It's there now, but we don't have any content on there. But the actual main, like this comic, will start. You'll be able to start reading it in January.
Can you tell us about Brody? Is Brody the main character?
She is the main character.
Awesome.
One of the things that I've always loved about comics is when you have like really great, strong female characters, which most of the time end up being like, you know, big boobs and scantily clad outfits, or you know,
It's not bad, but hey, there's other stuff out there.
Yeah.
It's nice if there's like a good character behind that.
Exactly.
Instead of an empty shell of armor and silicone.
One of my favorite characters is Red Sonja, and I kind of wanted. I wanted a new modern take on her, and that's kind of what Brody is. So, yeah, Brody is a young punk rock singer in Oregon. She lives with her dad. Her mother died when she was a little girl. And, after all the electricity and power in the United States gets... Well, not in the United States, in the world gets shut down, then she ends up joining the military here in the United States, and she essentially becomes a knight. Like a new modern day knight.
That's awesome.
And, you know, the United States never had a dark age because it didn't exist. So this is kind of, it's kind of like a bookend to the real dark ages.
Where can we see American Dark Age?
Well, if you go to megabraincomics.com, which will be going live very soon. In January, American Dark Age is going to start up, so you can start reading it then. And then we've also got three other flagship comics that are going to be starting after this, but this is our initial baby. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, good luck with delivering it.
Thank you very much.
And I'm here with the creator of Mind's Eye, new web series.
Yeah, my name is Thomas.
And the web series, you guys filmed in Ontario, in Canada. I just checked it out. It has super awesome graphics and cool effects. Can you tell us just a little bit about the series?
Sure. Well, the series is 24 episodes, averaging about 6 to 10 minutes in each episode. And we're dealing with a young boy and his growth through coming-of-age story. And then there's a couple of other influences involved. One is that the boy is considered sort of the prophecy or the chosen one as a tool that both the forces of good and evil, sort of imaged through as angelic or demonic forces, are trying to take the boy and use him as a prize to win an ancient war. And so these heroes are here to protect the boy from both the sides of good and evil, which is an interesting twist because usually it's, you know, good
one
trying
or the other.
One or the other. And these, so I guess you could say these people are doing the right thing because they're actually good guys. But I mean, you got to look at, you know, good and evil as a perception.
It's all a matter of perspective. There's, I think Obi-Wan.
Absolutely. So you got this interesting comedic layer where on the background you got these heroes fighting off demons and shadowed minions and stuff, and on the foreground you got the main kid thinking that all of his friends are just his regular neighborhood friends who are, for some reason, they act weird sometimes and he can't figure out what it is. But really, it's just because, you know, when the kid turns his back, suddenly a wizard pops out, blows away a demon, and then the kid turns around and goes, "What was that?" And then it's the wizard's a little kid again going, "Oh, nothing, don't worry about it, I just stubbed my toe."
Where can you watch the show?
You can see the show at mindseyeseries.com. You can go there and you can check out all the behind the scenes, the stills, the photos. You can see character bios and everything. But the actual show doesn't launch until November 26th.
Awesome.
But on Halloween, you can watch the official trailer, which is when we're going to launch the trailer.
I'm so excited.
Great.
Well, hopefully, I look forward to watching the rest of it. And I'm here with Marion Call, the fantastic geek music extraordinaire.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so glad we finally hooked up. It's been so crazy trying to find everyone in here because no one's phones work, but we finally made it, which is awesome. So you did not come to Comic-Con.
I on tour right now, and I happen to be in New York on the weekend of Comic-Con, and thought I would stop by and see some friends, but then I haven't been able to find them because none of their phones work. So, but that's all right. I just wanted to, you know, catch a little bit of the con atmosphere.
Absolutely.
On my weekend, and tomorrow I'm going to the Dodge Poetry Festival, which will probably be a little bit different.
So how long are you on tour for?
7.5 months.
Cool.
I'm doing all 50 states,
wow.
and it's completely coordinated via Twitter and Facebook through my fans, which is awesome. It's kind of a crowdsourcing experiment slash just good old geek fun. And I just booked my last show in the continental U.S., which is Rhode Island. I just confirmed that today. So that means that I am booked. Provided I survive, you know, provided I hold up, I will have played 49 states within the next few weeks.
That's
right
so
now
incredible.
I'm playing the Northeast and New York. And
so are you traveling around with the band at all, or is it just you? And
it's me and a guitarist,
yeah.
and the guitarists change out regularly,
cool.
so they can have a life, you know.
Oh, that's
I
so
have no
awesome.
Life. So. And I drive about, for a while, when I was in the West, I was driving about 300 miles per show date. It was pretty intense.
That is a lot of travel.
East Coast is not so bad. It's closer to 200 miles per show date when you average it out.
Cool.
So I'm kind of part professional driver, part social networking addict, part musician, part professional.
So how do you
geek.
Feel that... I think we'd all love to be able to call ourselves professional geeks. What do you think that the web gives to you as an artist in terms of allowing you to kind of drive the vehicle that is getting your music out to fans?
I don't think I would have even started being a full-time musician if it were not for the web. Before that, it was all dependent on making the right connection to make it in music or getting noticed by someone. It was very much about your age and your looks and your appeal and whether you were marketable to everyone, not just to your niche demographic. And those were the things that determined whether you could make a living doing any kind of popular music. Now, none of that matters, which is really, really nice. You can just create a product and it doesn't matter if you're too old to be signed or if you don't look good enough to be in music videos or
totally.
If you don't...
Find those people.
Yeah, you find the people who want the music and you go directly to them. You don't need anyone's permission. Doesn't
intravenous
matter what, exactly.
musician.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what gender, age, race, demographic, where you're from. I live in Alaska, and obviously that's a pretty major hurdle to getting
heard. Exactly.
But the internet makes that not so much of an issue.
And possible, and now that you're touring, I mean, that's so awesome because you can actually go and meet everyone who's been supporting on the web.
Absolutely. It's been very, very fun. I remember the first time I met an internet friend, and it was such a big deal to go meet a stranger.
Yeah.
I was kind of creeped out, you know. And now I meet people that I've known on the internet every day, and it's really fun.
It's totally true. I mean, I play WoW. I do a web series myself, and it's like you run into people, or you don't realize that these people listen to you or watch your show, and then talking to them is so rewarding because it's so direct.
Absolutely.
What is the inspiration behind your music?
I write a lot of things about fiction, about imagination, about... I write about everyday things. I don't take as much inspiration as other artists from, I think, like, love and romance and emotion. I think that's what appeals to the people who like my music, is that it's about more practical everyday things.
Yeah.
And very topical, if you know what the topic is.
Yeah.
I have some officially licensed Firefly and Battlestar Galactica music.
That's so awesome.
Which is a lot of fun. And the Browncoats are huge supporters of mine.
And how did you go about getting licensed to do that stuff?
I was approached by a company that does officially licensed stuff.
Yeah.
They liked my music, and they wanted to do something with me. That's Quantum Mechanics. And
they
were good enough to actually seek me out and say, we like your art. And I was like, are you really going to be a record label? And they
said, what's happening?
So, they functioned as a record label. I've never made any other product like that, but they just decided to, and it's been hugely popular. They sell a physical CD, but my fans are all geeks, so it's actually been much more popular as a digital download.
Yeah, to download.
Than as a physical
CD.
That's
so awesome.
But, so that kind of got me started, and pretty soon I started going to conventions and then hanging out with other people and then being on panels, and it was pretty exciting.
What was your first convention experience?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I released my CD, got to fly with Quantum Mechanics at a smaller convention. It was Creations tribute specifically to Firefly Serenity and Stargate.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was in LA in November.
There.
It was very nice. It was small and intimate and probably a good introduction to conventions because I'd never gone to them before. I didn't grow up part of larger geek culture, and then I moved to Alaska where there is not too much in the way of enormous conventions.
It's a beautiful place though. I've been there.
Oh, it's glorious. I'm glad you have. So then after that I jumped straight to San Diego Comic Con, which was quite a leap.
That is a huge leap.
And then I went to Dragon Con, and now I'm checking this one out. But Dragon Con was definitely wild and crazy. It was like the Mardi Gras of conventions.
What would you say was the first moment when you knew you were a geek?
Oh, my goodness. It was kind of a coming out of the closet process for me.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to be one of the normal kids very badly, but anyone who knew me knew that there was no chance of that. Like, it was just kind of pathetic to try, so.
And who the hell wants to be normal?
I know. I was very much a music geek from early days.
Yeah.
I was in the choir room my whole career of high school, and I was in rehearsal and performance for choirs of various kinds, probably 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week in college. And I didn't even notice how much of a music geek I was until I left college and didn't do music all day, every day anymore, and just went, oh, there's this absence in my life. But as for being a regular, run-of-the-mill kind of geek culture geek, I think I had always completely loved reading literature, plus all the sci-fi, like old-school sci-fi, Asimov and Bradbury.
Oh, yeah,
plus,
totally.
You know, I loved math and science. I really dove in. I would write, like, essays three times longer than my teachers asked me to. Yeah, and I loved Star Wars, Star Trek, Next Generation, a lot of those things. But I didn't add that all up to I am a geek until probably, probably when Firefly came out and I watched it and realized I was totally obsessed.
Yeah.
And then I thought
you're
back
like,
and went, oh, wait, I do know
myself.
Everything about Star Trek and and Star Wars, and I do get every comic almost in XKCD, and I do, you know.
Yeah.
I started realizing these things and creating an online community and, like, indulging in MySpace and Facebook.
It's
for
so
real.
Cool,
and then I kind of came out as a geek, and I realized that there were other people like me, where before
Absolutely.
I just kind of ignored those parts of myself. Now I have a lot of fun hanging out
embracing
with other people who love those things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And as a girl, I found, like, when I was younger, I noticed that the guys who were geeks in my school, especially elementary school and middle school, they would form little communities. I know they get, you know, beat up on and shoved in lockers, had that kind of unifying guy experience, which was terrible. But then they would form social groups around it, like D&D groups or gaming groups.
For girls,
No. I hid alone in the library every recess.
Yeah.
Like,
I would hide in the musical or in
exactly.
Do whatever.
And I would pretend I wasn't that smart in front of other people because I didn't want to stand out. I think girls are socialized to blend in and socialize to connect with other people. And once they find themselves unable to connect with other people, like I did about, like, being good in school or being interested in Star Wars when that was a boys' thing, I just kind of shut down socially and would pretend that I was not smart. It was not great. And growing up and realizing that I was free to be who I was, didn't have to pretend, and that there were tons of other girls like
me, and
tons of other guys who would accept me that way, that was really exciting to realize. And I came to that realization late. I admire...
It's almost
a lot of the other girls who were themselves all along.
Where can we listen to your music?
You can hear me at mariancall.com.
Awesome.
And I'm real and official and on iTunes and eMusic and Amazon and everything like that, too. Pretty easy to find. The most exciting part of this tour is that people can catch me live. If they catch me in the next little while, I still have to do most of the Northeast. I'm doing some shows, some Woopstocks with Mythbusters and Paul and Storm
so
and Jonathan
cool.
Colt, and that's going to be a blast. So it's going to
be so awesome.
In New York and Boston. That'll be fun. Thank you. And... So you'll see those on the internet, even if you don't see them
that's
live.
That's what I love about Ustream shows is, you know, being able to see, like, the folks from the Guild do improv and
oh,
be able to see. I saw tons of friends tweeting about your show, Nos Destiny, I think, is a fan of yours. And he was like, oh, Mary and Call, you're so amazing.
Jeez, I love Nos Destiny.
No, he's such a sweetheart.
And they can catch shows throughout the Northeast for the next while until early November. And then I'll be heading all the way across Canada back to Alaska. And then in December, I do Hawaii. And then I'm all done.
That'll be a fun show.
And we'll stay home for a little while and work on my next album, get that out, and then plan my next year's tour.
That's so cool.
But people can see tons of videos, YouTube, or Ustream.
I'm a really big, like, Sarah Bareilles fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I like just, like, really soulful singer-songwriter stuff, but there's a sound that comes out of people when they love what... It's not general, like, love in a box somewhere. It's, like, something that they connect to, whether it's a thing or an experience that they've had or something that they enjoy. And I think something that comes across in your music is, you know, your connection to the words. And I feel like that's really, really awesome. So everyone should definitely go mariancall.com.
You can spell it either way, with an A or with an O. It's really spelled with an A, but I own both domains because you got to be smart.
Go the one with the A because
mariancall.com.
Awesome.
And call like a phone call.
Awesome. Thank you so much for interviewing me.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Here with
Ashley Eckstein. I'm the voice of Ahsoka Tano on Star Wars The Clone Wars,
which is awesome. I love the merchandise here. So tell me a little bit about what your company is and how you got started.
Okay, well, Her Universe is a sci-fi merchandise line just for women. Our first license is Star Wars. Because of my role as Ahsoka on The Clone Wars, it just seemed like a natural fit to be our first line. So we're the first Star Wars line just for women. We have nothing for the men. The men are covered.
Who needs them?
Yeah, Mark Echo and Adidas and Mad Engine, they have so many great shirts to
Absolutely.
Choose from. So we've got, these are all garments made for female figures. We've got V-necks, we've got zip-up hoodies, we've got thermals, we've got t-shirts, we've got accessories. So we hope to outfit girls head to toe, make them geek chic from head to toe. So we're also getting ready to expand to other properties. And definitely check us out, heruniverse.com. Everything's available. Also, we've got message boards and a blog, Facebook. I mean, we really want to create a community for female sci-fi fans.
And so do we. So we're all
Well, we need to hook up
then. I know, we absolutely should. Who do you have who does all the art for the shirts and everything?
Well, it's kind of a collaborative effort. I come up with most of the concepts. We have a design team at Her Universe, and we sit down and come up with concepts together. The Lucasfilm style guide is amazing, so we dive into that, and then we use either images from the style guide or we find artists. We have three Star Wars artists that are in our first line. Kat Staggs designed an amazing Han and Leia shirt for us, and it's so comfortable you're not going to want to take it off. Katie Cook designed our Daddy's Little Girl t-shirt for us with Vader and Leia. And then Dave Filoni, the director of The Clone Wars, designed a Plo Koon and Ahsoka shirt for
us. That's awesome.
So it's just a collaborative effort, and like I said, we're definitely looking to expand to other properties. And, you know, close to half of all sci-fi fans are women, and they weren't giving us anything to buy. And, you know, 80% of the consumer market is women. So
Absolutely.
The numbers weren't adding up. It's like,
well,
we want to buy.
When you do go and buy those guys' shirts, they're, like, baggy, and you don't want to, like, wear them with some cute jeans and go out. Like,
yeah,
I want to be able to flaunt my Star Wars love. Like.
Yes, we have curves, and we want to show them off. We don't want to hide it under a boxy t-shirt.
Thank you. From the bottom of my heart. So, let's see. What was the first moment when you felt yourself entering the realm of geek? Can you remember as a kid or anything?
Geez. Well, I mean, I've been a geek my whole life. I grew up watching Star Wars with my siblings. But I'm also a big Disney fan as well, because my dad worked for Disney. So I love Alice in Wonderland, and I have a massive Alice in Wonderland collection. So I'm definitely a geek in that sense, and I've never grown out of it. I still have
it. No one wants to grow out of
exactly.
it. It's too fun when you grow into it.
Yes, but now, I mean, I'm a total geek. The fact that I can quote Star Wars on command, and it just kind of naturally
can even quote
comes out.
Yourself.
Yeah, that's a little weird sometimes when I'm like, oh,
that's
wow. Okay, I can
have
dress
you seen
up
people
in a
cosplay as your character.
Yes. Yeah. That's
what's
that's,
that like?
It's cool. It's cool to see everyone's costumes. I mean, it's a difficult costume.
I know, because it's not like a human, really, kind of thing.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to become Ahsoka, I guess you could say.
So, are you looking forward to the new season?
Yes, we've actually completed work on season 3 already.
Awesome.
So we have some great episodes in season 3. You know, there's some connections to the old saga. Also, Ahsoka grows up a lot. She matures
awesome.
A lot in season 3.
Cool. Well, I know we'll all be looking forward to that. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
It's been an honor to talk to you. And heruniverse.com.
Yes.
Go there.
We're power in numbers. All the sci-fi girls should unite, and then maybe we'll finally make some waves and people pay attention to us.
I hope you all enjoyed hearing about New York Comic Con. I had such a great time with all my friends. I met some amazing new people. A special thanks to everyone who stopped at their booths in the middle of all the craziness to talk with me or let me snap pictures of them as they were trying to get from one place to another in their costumes. If you want to see some of my photos from the con, they'll be up on the blog. Probably before this goes out, because I'm going to work on that when I finish recording this.
So it was definitely an exhausting weekend, but so worth it. Alrighty, back to you, Jen and Angela.